Good morning. Now, Levon and Doris, can you hold up the things I gave you earlier? Okay. Now, it's Doris's birthday, which is why I gave that to her. Now, and would you just pass it around, make sure everyone gets to hold it, maybe shake it a bit? You're kind of curious, aren't you? The important thing is not to stop questioning. This is what Albert Einstein said to a young college student, Patrick Miller, in 1954. And you're not allowed to open it, Regina, I saw that. Don't stop questioning. What a perfect line, I think, to sum up a classic Unitarian Universalist approach to religion, to our efforts at understanding and making meaning and surviving our living together. For those of us who have ever chaired a committee, I think we often woe the day our community committed ourselves to a wisdom so conducive to challenging authority. But this was not all the wisdom that Einstein shared with young Patrick that day. Patrick was a physics student in college and had the good fortune to be the son of Bill Miller, who was an editor of Life magazine. Now, as often is the case with us liberal folk, questioning type of people, Patrick had taken a philosophy course and found himself an existential malaise. He had become bogged down with a sense of purposelessness. What was the point of applying himself in school if he was just going to die? If the whole universe was on a crash course to destruction? Beware of philosophy courses. Such a pessimistic, cynical outlook distressed Patrick's tuition-paying parents. And so when Patrick's father got the chance to ride down with a colleague to interview Albert Einstein, Patrick got invited along. Bill, Patrick's father, knew that Einstein was a personal hero of Patrick's and hoped that a personal encounter with him would inspire Patrick out of his philosophical nihilism back to completing his schoolwork. I remember in high school sitting at a kitchen counter with my father, and I think there was like a National Honor Society application or something, and I remember arguing with him about the meaninglessness of honor societies. I can't quite remember why. I think my sophisticated logic went something that high school was stupid. Perhaps I made an argument about how honor societies were simply another mechanism to help the more privileged gain access to fancy colleges. I was raised a UU. My father got absolutely furious with me and said, well, what does it mean if when you're applying to colleges and everybody else is part of an honor society and you're not? That means something, doesn't it? The fear of not going to college, the fear of staying in my small town was enough to motivate me to fill out that application, despite my insistence that it was a meaningless, elitist ploy. I can imagine Bill and his son Patrick having a similar disagreement. Bill, so concerned that he best prepare his son for a successful life, so worried that what he perhaps saw as an adolescent anti-authoritarian tantrum may seriously impact his son's long-term well-being. And so he takes his son to visit Albert Einstein. If only we could all be so lucky as to visit our oracle at times of despair and meaninglessness. So Bill and Patrick drove down with a Professor William Herman, who was interviewing Einstein for Catholic Bishop Fulton Sheen's Emmy Award-winning TV show, Life is Worth Living. Bishop Sheen is considered the first and the father of televangelism, and apparently the show was not enough to convince Patrick of its title. Where are the packages? Are the packages still going around? Yeah? Okay, good. Once you're done, okay, yeah, shake it. See if you can figure it out. Pass it back forward once everyone has gotten a good handle on it. So they arrive at Einstein's home. Pleasantries are exchanged, and Professor Herman begins asking Einstein big questions about anti-Semitism, about the Russians obtaining atomic secrets, about God. And the professor gets kind of antsy and slightly frustrated because nothing that Einstein is telling him is really a good soundbite for the show, at least not a soundbite that fits in well with the theology of Bishop Sheen. And so in the middle of this interview, Bill jumps in and tells Einstein that his son finds no reason why he should strive to achieve. He, like so many other youth of his generation, have lost faith in what we, the older generation, have told them. Einstein smiles. And why shouldn't the youth doubt? I doubted everything they told me. And turning to Patrick with a reported warm twinkling in his eyes, Einstein asked, does not the question of the atomic and undulatory properties of life arouse your curiosity? That wouldn't have been my first question, my approach. But hey, I'm also not Einstein. As Bill put it, the nicest thing about the question was his simple assumption that his son would understand it. Now, if Albert Einstein asks you the leading question, does not the question of the atomic and undulatory properties of life arouse your curiosity, of course you are going to say exactly what Patrick said. Oh, yes, very much. Einstein says, and is this not enough to occupy your whole curiosity for a lifetime? Again, the answer, oh, why, yes, of course it is. And to this, Einstein gives us his oft-quoted holy curiosity statement. Do not stop to think about the reasons for what you are doing, about why you question. The important thing is not to stop questioning. Curiosity has its own reason for existence. One cannot help but be in awe when she contemplates the mysteries of eternity, of life, of the marvelous structure of reality. It is enough if one tries to merely comprehend a little of this mystery each day. Never lose a holy curiosity. Aware of the time, Bill asks if they could perhaps take some pictures by a tree. And Patrick kind of pipes up, eager to continue this deep engagement with Einstein, and he says, Dr. Einstein, how can you truthfully say that this tree is actually a tree? Very deep. And Einstein replies, well, this could all be a dream. You may not be seeing it at all. Patrick replies, if I assume that I can see it, how do I know exactly that the tree exists and where it is? And to this, Einstein replies, you do have to assume something. Be glad that you have some little knowledge of something that you cannot penetrate. You have to assume something. And be glad that you have some little knowledge of something that you cannot penetrate. Yes, it's important to never stop questioning, but all of our questions must be grounded somewhere, grounded in something which ultimately we cannot penetrate. Never lose a holy curiosity. And you must assume something. You must trust something and actually be glad that at some point we can stop are questioning. On the drive home, the group of three sank deep into their own thoughts, and eventually Patrick commented, he is very insightful, there seems to be something prophetic about Einstein. You think? Have a holy curiosity. I'll never forget that. You know, I had the feeling it wasn't Einstein speaking, but rather the spirit in him that spoke to the spirit in me. I think it's fairly safe to say that we Unitarian Universalists are really good at questioning and doubt. I am sure I have overheard conversations just like the one between Patrick and Einstein, debates about reality and truth. We often trust our intellectual curiosity, and we often enjoy debating philosophical arguments and propositions. We promote a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. And sometimes, honestly, all that searching and prying and investigating simply exhausts us. Sometimes, like Patrick, we find ourselves adrift, unanchored. Our finely tuned critical thinking skills can in fact turn against us, and we discover that we need more than questioning and doubt to navigate our complex and messy living. At some point, what we need is something to supplement our practices of critique and questioning with trust, even faith. You have to assume something. You know, I had the feeling it wasn't Einstein speaking, but rather the spirit in him that spoke to the spirit in me. I don't know what Patrick's journey was like after his meeting with Einstein. I don't know if his depression lifted and he was able to harness the spark of holy curiosity, if he was able to continue his pursuit of physics. But Patrick clearly felt touched, felt a deep connection. The spirit in Einstein had spoke to the spirit in Patrick, a spirit to spirit, human to human connection occurred. And I suspect that was what was most meaningful to Patrick, what impacted him the most, wasn't really the exact wise words that Einstein spoke, but rather it was Einstein's respect for Patrick and his ability to connect authentically to him, to address issues that were meaningful for both of them. You have to assume something. Be glad that you have some little knowledge of something that you cannot penetrate. Deep ideas impact us the most when offered by those whose living has demonstrated to us compassion, integrity, and wisdom. In fact, dare I say that deep ideas really only impact us when the relationship that encases them is one of caring, empathy, and respect. For us Unitarian Universalists so dedicated to questioning and searching, what is that thing which we can assume and be glad? What point in our search for truth and meaning can we pause, rest, and trust? Where in our lives do we feel safe enough to reveal not only our questions, but also those things which we assume? Holy curiosity first requires holy trust. As director of family ministry charged with helping you all provide religious education to your children, let me tell you that these lessons about trust and curiosity are abundantly clear. Children don't want questions, they want answers. Most of the time, unless it's regarding bedtime or how many cookies you can have after dinner, then they're content to sit in that ambiguity. What they want and what they need then is a community of trust that will secure boundaries and make them go to bed and limit the number of cookies they eat. There is a story about a little girl who, after lunch, would take her notebook and disappear, saying only to her mother that she went to see a man who helped her with her arithmetic. Concerned, her mother followed her one day and saw her walk over to a park bench where she sat down and opened her book for the man to see. The mother did not believe her eyes. Dr. Einstein, my daughter comes and bothers you with her schoolwork? Oh, I don't mind, said Einstein. Besides, she always brings me a cookie. A holy curiosity does not require a skeptical and questioning mind. It requires an openness to wonder and possibility that can only arise in an environment of basic trust and security. Sadly, I think too many of us can carry deep wounds of betrayal. Too often our questioning and skeptical attitude is driven not by a holy curiosity, but by maybe a wounded suspicion. But in a community such as this, in a liberal religious community, we must not only strive to search for truth and meaning, but also to build a culture of trust, security, and accountability worthy of holding our holy curiosities. A place where Patrick would find a wise elder who would take his experiences seriously and offer a spirit-to-spirit connection. A place where a renowned physicist would gladly help a young girl with her arithmetic. A place where holy trust of relationship encases and nourishes holy curiosity. And a place where we can assume something and take gladness and feel secure in such a knowledge, and a place where we offer and receive good cookies. Who has the packages? Oh, great. Here, that's...
Well, Don, would you open this one? And Dora. So you're curious, right? You have a little bit of curiosity about what's in here.
Yeah.
Here you go. Now open them up and show them what's in there.
They're both cookies, yes, they're both cookies. Go in peace, blessed be, and amen.